Morning. I'm going to use some scripture that I kept thinking, Joyce, hurry up and get through. You're just about to get my sermon. Now, you really were on it anyway, so that's all right. That's just how sometimes the Lord works. And then Lily's presentation was very fitting, fit right in. I guess if I have a thought that I would want you to remember this morning, it is just that, as to how thankful that each one of us as a child of God should be, that God has given us the gift of eternal life. Now, we're getting into the holiday season, as I've already said. Most of you, that doesn't come as any surprise. I think the only thing that surprised me is how much faster it came this year than it even did last year. I cannot believe that we're already into this season again. But we are, and I've always enjoyed it. I think it's a fun time, and I hope that you enjoy it. I know it is probably, from statistical standpoint, one of the more stressful times of the year for our people as a whole, and that's self-imposed. We do that to ourselves. We just allow ourselves to get so anxious about whether or not we're giving the right gift, or whether it's a satisfactory gift, and sometimes, quite honestly, as I found, my daughter has already said, "Dad, what do you want?" And you know, quite honestly, at my age, there's not many things left you can get an old man like me anymore. So things are not nearly as important to me as people are, and the things that we cannot give. But the best gift that I ever received was not that blackboard that some of you have heard me tell about when I was just getting ready. Actually, I guess I'd started my first year of school, because I had not yet still been convinced, in spite of all those smart kids who knew so much more than I did, I still was not thoroughly convinced there wasn't a Santa Claus. And I will guarantee you that after that Christmas, when I was a first grader, there was nobody in the world from then on that's ever been able to convince me there isn't one. So for those of you naysayers, you got the wrong guy right here, because I still believe in him. But the best gift that I ever received was not from Santa Claus, but was from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a gift. He gave it to me. And he never once had any hesitancy or any reservation about giving it to me. He was not concerned as to whether or not I would be happy with it or satisfied with it, because it was the best that there ever has been. And I mean that. And it's a gift that I have treasured down through the years. I was thinking this morning, as I was getting ready to leave the house, and I'm kind of checking a few things that I usually do, and I was thinking, I have a lot of gifts that are in my particular room that would mean absolutely nothing to anyone else. And I'm sure that whenever I'm finally gone, that my kids, for the most part, are probably going to come along and throw them all in a box and say, "Who wants them for a dollar?" And I understand that. Because some of them, from a monetary value, aren't worth more than a dollar. Some of them aren't even worth anything. But to me, they have a story. There was a reason that they were given to me, and I've appreciated those things over there. Do I remember every single instant? No, I don't. But I will tell you one thing. The greatest gift that I have ever received, I still remember vividly. I still am very thankful for it. There has never been a day of my life that I've not understood that is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I mean that. The gift of eternal life. I thought about the Father, God Almighty, how much that He loved me, and how much that He loved you, and does love us, not past tense, but He loved me then, He loves me now, and He will love me in the future. No matter how I've lived, where I've been, what I've done, how I failed, He still continues to love me. And he loved me enough, and he loved you enough, that whenever he and the Son were looking down upon, and before the foundation of the earth, looking ahead, I believe in the foreknowledge of God. I believe God knew before he ever even created this world what was going to happen. And I believe that as he and the Son were there and they were talking about the creation and knowing what man was going to do and how he was going to do everything, that the determination was already made that there was going to have to be a remedy to take care of the sinfulness of mankind. And as they searched heaven and earth and above and beneath and everywhere, there was not anything that was good enough to be the redeemer of the souls of mankind. And his Son, Jesus Christ, said, I will go and I will pay the price. Now, I want you to think about that a little bit. Now, can I find that in those exact words in the Word? No, I can't, because there are a lot of things that I say that I can't find exactly in the Word of the Lord. And many times I tell you, I paraphrase, and it's a parson version sometimes. But I can guarantee you this morning from the Word of the Lord and from his teachings that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke to the Father and was willing to come here and die upon the cross that I might have the gift of eternal life. Now, he loved me that much. And he loves every single one of you that much this morning. God the Father loved us first of all. And then when his Son had agreed that he would come, he had, you think for a second, I thought this morning as I was going kind of over my mental process, I wondered how many fathers are here this morning who have a son. Now, don't put your hands up, but there are several of you. I thought of several of you who have sons. There are a few of you who don't have a son, but you have a daughter. There are some of you who didn't have neither a son or a daughter, and that's okay. But I really wonder how many fathers there are, and I don't care this morning what you may think of your son. I really wonder how many of us would have been willing to say, you take my son and go and use him for a worthless group of people who don't amount to anything. Be tough. But that's what God did. He said, oh, we're good people. No, we're not good people. We are sinners, every single one of us. We like to think we're good. We want people to think we are. But the bottom line is that every single one of us were disobedient children. We were alienated from God Almighty. We rejected him whenever that given the opportunity. That's what made us lost. And that's what caused us to need a Redeemer. That's what caused us to need a Savior. Not our goodness, but our sinfulness. And yet God loved us in spite of every single thing that mankind could possibly do. The Bible says that the very thoughts and the intents of man's mind were continually evil. And yet God loved us. And when his Son said, I will go and I will pay the price for the redemption of their souls, the Father still loved us enough that he was willing to sacrifice his Son. And he sent him down here to the earth. And I want you to understand as you read the word of the Lord that when the Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, he came obedient to the will of the Father. He came as a servant. He came in a very humble manner to do the will of his Father. He wanted to please his Father because he loved his Father. He said that whenever he was speaking to his disciples. I love my Father and my Father loves me and I love you. What a price that was paid for me to have the gift of eternal life. Wasn't anything that I was deserving of. Wasn't anything that I did that allowed me to be one of his children. It's what he did. And the Father loved us. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says. But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2nd chapter, 4th verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, I was talking to one of our members the other day, and we were talking about money and the way that people perceive money today. And we don't talk in millions anymore. We talk in billions. You know what? I can't even imagine. The only reason that I can imagine it is that I tell people all the time, you know, I'm able to understand when you're down with one decimal point and two zeros. I understand that. Now, that's my level of understanding. But when you keep adding all of those zeros out there behind that, it's beyond my comprehension. And I understand that in most people's minds that that's all it is. It's just more zeros out there. We don't talk in millions anymore. We don't talk in billions. Now we're talking in trillions. My goodness, folks. That's a lot. Well, you get past those two and start getting a lot for me. But let me tell you something this morning. The Bible says God is rich in mercy. And he's not talking about American dollars, the U.S. dollar. He's rich in mercy. He had to be rich. He had to be wealthy to love us enough to be willing to say, I care enough about that creation that I made who did everything under the sun contrary to what I wanted them to do. I still love them. And I'm still going to send you down there because I know that you love them too. And I'm willing to send you my son that you might go and pay the price that they could have the gift of eternal life. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Let's get this straight, folks. We all like to talk, and I talk a lot about love, and I think love is important. All kinds of love. There are different kinds of love. There's the agape love. There's the love that we have for one another as husband and wife. There's the love we have for our children. There's the love we have for the Lord. But let me tell you something. We need to understand that God loved us before we loved him. We want to turn this thing around. We want God to know how good we are and how much we love him. Let me tell you something. You couldn't even have love if he didn't give it to you. You are not good enough. I am not good enough. We just got too many preachers today who are preaching works for salvation. We've got too many preachers today who won't preach works after salvation. Every one of us as a child of God need to be working for the Lord. That's one of the reasons he left us down here, was to carry on his work after he had redeemed our souls. He didn't just leave us down here to come and warm the pew so the preacher would have somebody to preach to. He left us to glorify him, to work for him, to serve him. Listen to what the word says. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You see, now he's got the Son involved here. He's got his, you know, we have to do everything through him, Jesus Christ. I hear people talk all the time about how you know, they talk to God. Well, they do talk to God, but they talk to him through the Son. There's a little filtering process there because we're still down here. We're still sinners. We're still lost. And that has to be filtered out because God cannot look upon sin. And so the filter there is Jesus Christ, who is perfect. Was perfect, always has been perfect, always will be perfect. And so he intercedes for you and for I. And so we talk to God through the Son. We are saved by grace through the Son. And so when Jesus said, I'll go down there and I'll live among the children of men as a servant, I will do your will. He came to do the will of the Father. That's why I say he came as a servant. And you all know, and I'm taking a little longer probably than I should be here, but you all know that when he comes back again, he's not going to come back as a servant. He's going to come back as a King of Kings. He's going to come back with power and glory. He's not going to come as that little humble child that he came the first time. He's not going to come back and live that humble life that he lived before. He's going to come back with power and glory and majesty, and every eye shall see him. Behold him. They'll know who he is. I'm seeing this all the time, seeing it for several years. Well, what happens if the rapture comes and I don't know about it? Let me tell you something. That's not going to happen. You're going to know about it. You may not go in it, but I'll guarantee you, you're going to know about it. We just, you know, we're pathetic sometimes, people, as to how gullible we are. Instead of listening and reading and studying what the Word of the Lord says, we just take what somebody tells us. And hath raised us up. You who were dead in sins. I preached about that not too awful long ago. Some of you act like you never heard of anything like that before in your lives, that we were dead. And whenever I talk about, you know, that whenever that we were dead in our sins and we're alienated from God and God does not hear us at that time in our life, people, oh, I think the Lord's heard me all that. No, he never. You haven't read the Word of the Lord. If you've got that idea in your head, let me tell you something. Sometimes, people, we just need to get in and see what the Word of God does say. We became alienated from him. But now listen to what he says. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. There's the key ingredient, is Jesus Christ. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How thankful I am that God teaches us in his word about God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And that we have the wonderful privilege of being heirs and joint heirs in being his children today, because he has given unto us the gift of eternal life. Greatest gift that you're ever going to receive, that you will ever receive. Oh, God has blessed us so many times since then. I believe with everything there is about me that every single child of God, at least somewhere along the line, if it may have been just a couple of minutes after you got saved, that he blessed you. He blessed you by saving you. But he's blessed you with more than that. And some of you, he's blessed day after day after day. And some of us get away from him, backslid, as we Baptists like to call it. And when we are in a backslidden condition, don't try to fool me. I've been there. You aren't being blessed of the Lord. You can pretend you are, you can talk like you are, you can act like you are, but I guarantee you, God knows your heart, and he knows where you're at. God does not bless sin. If you ever remember another thing this preacher ever said, I guess if I was going to have a tombstone, I don't plan to have one, but I'd have them put on there, God does not bless sin. He blessed me as a sinner, but he didn't bless the sin. Still doesn't bless the sin in anyone's life. That's the last enemy that's going to be destroyed. And it will be destroyed. Now listen. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. Show. Man, I'll tell you what. How thankful we should be this morning. For by grace are you saved. This is the one that every one of you know. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See how easy I can just run through that. You ought to dissect that sometime. Sit down and just break it down. For by grace are you saved. I like to go back over and I'd read every once in a while in the Old Testament, and I always read about Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I never can read that and never even can quote it when I don't get into that little rhythm of Tennessee Ernie Ford when he sang Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Some of you kids don't even know who Tennessee Ernie Ford was. That's okay. He's an old timer like me. But he sang a song. And some of you have heard the song. It's been more recent than that. The Statler brothers sing it. I don't know who else sings it. But he did find grace. And I found grace. And you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. By grace are you saved through faith. And you just can't manufacture these things. You can't just decide all of a sudden, I'm going to have faith. Doesn't work that way. That has to be given to you from God Almighty. You see, the whole plan of salvation is God's plan. And the reason that it is because he's the only one who could make it a perfect plan. Every other plan that has come along has some imperfections in it. And it doesn't work. It won't fly. That's why God had to finally get away from the Old Testament and the Mosaic law, because man could not keep it. It provided what was needed, but man couldn't keep it. Has never been able to, and never will be able to. There's not a single one of us this morning who are able to keep our salvation. But God does. Because he had a perfect plan from before the foundation of the earth, and it is still in existence today, and it will stand when the world's on fire. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Oh, I hear people tell about what all they did to get saved. I know a lot of things I did thinking it was going to save me, but it didn't save me. When you really get down to the final analysis, the only thing that any of us do, I've got to quit this morning. I haven't even got my verse covered here yet, but I'm watching the clock, and I've been checking back, and I've been seeing that I'm running a little long anymore. Got to get back. I won't even make it to the first of the year before I need to get disciplined a little more. But anyway, yes. Let me tell you. That the bottom line is that the only thing that we can do as a sinner that's lost is come to the foot of the cross, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow him to save us. We can't make him save us. That's the only thing that God's going to hear out of you as a sinner is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now you can just tell me all you want to about all the other prayers you can pray, and you can quote all the others there are. You can quote all the scripture you want to. We've got people who, we've got to take them down the Roman road. Well, let me tell you something. The Roman road is sending people to hell. What saves people is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just need to understand that. I'm not being critical of what the scripture says. I understand what it says. But we got too many people who are misleading people into thinking that if they just say certain words, that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Every once in a while, someone will give me a gift, and I think, Lord, what in the world would they give me that for? I've got a few of those I've still got on display, Shirley. I look at them every once in a while. I've not kept them all, so there have been some of them I've gotten rid of. But let me tell you something. I've never once wanted to get rid of the gift that God gave to me when he saved my soul, the gift of eternal life. All right, get ready. I'm going to quit. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.